amateur radio program. This, well, not just him. I'm just, this just being read by me off of USA Today that was sitting in the hallway all day. Brandy has sent condolences. Didn't she kill this woman a month ago? Way to be Johnny on the spot. That's timeliness. Singer, actress, and terrible driver Brandy has sent condolences to the family of a woman killed after a four-car crash in Los Angeles December 30th involving the singer. Abatef Abujaj, the driver of the other car, was injured and died 3 weeks ago. Brandy, whose full name is Brandy Norwood, was uninjured. Well, that's fortunate. A California Highway Patrol spokesman told People the accident is under investigation. What else was I going to read? Oh, just this thing from the front of today's business section, which I normally don't read, the front of the business section of the Oregonian, except that it was just sort of left laying there. And I was looking for the purple section. I couldn't find it. Here's the business section. And it's just a whole thing about Pizzicato. Is Pizzicato out of business? Have they gone away? Pizzicato, I don't even know where the nearest Pizzicato is. Isn't there one downtown? Isn't there one on, like, Washington or Alder or something?
I don't know.
The one by Balloons on Broadway or whatever that place is. A money-losing new outlet, that's how you want your business described. A money-losing new outlet shows the need to look beyond the metro area. This is by Jonathan Brinkman, the Oregonian. The streets of Tannisbourne. Oh, well, there you go. The streets of Tannisbourne. A snazzy shopping center in Washington County's Silicon Forest seemed the perfect place. Really? The streets of Tannisbourne? Is that the name of a mall? I thought they were talking about the streets of Tannisbourne, just sort of like the streets of San Francisco, a Quinn Martin production. Apparently, the streets of Tannisbourne. That's the name of a mall. The people intend, like, it's too good to just have a mall. It has to have its own fancy schmancy name. Snazzy, apparently.
It is an outdoor shopping center.
Oh, I'm sorry.
With a pedestrian walkway area. Featuring many fine shops and restaurants.
Really?
Patronized by people who live in that neighborhood.
You wave, and people wave palm fronds and throw petals at your feet when you walk through there, too.
And you walk by the clog store.
A snazzy shopping center in Washington County Silicon Forest seemed the perfect place for Mark and Tracy Frankel to open a new Pizzicato restaurant. Who better than well-paid high-tech workers, and Tim Riley, to appreciate a puttanesca? That sounds like a dirty word. Isn't that a thing? Isn't that a slang term for one's, business? Aaron? Anyway, a puttanesca pizza. What is a puttanesca? Am I pronouncing that right? P-U-T-T-A.
Why don't we talk about this later? Jim Roop's waiting.
Oh, hello! Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program, Jim Roop! Hello, sir.
You know, me waiting, it does not matter. So,
but it does, Jim Roop, it does.
No, it does.
But it really doesn't.
It does. Roop, I wanted to get you in on this pizza conversation.
This program is really all about you. You know, here's the thing. They only go through me to get to you.
Yeah, okay.
It's true, sir. You are the olive in the Rick Emerson martini.
All right.
You are the broken up bits of stuff inside the ice cream of the, I don't know, just stick with the martini analogy there. Do you know how I pronounce puttanesca? Puttanesca? It's a pizza, apparently.
I didn't know that.
With a glass of wine. To listen to this, it said it seemed the best place ever to put this upscale pizza joint. Wrong, the article says. Not only did the new restaurant lose money, but it cannibalized customers. That's an unpleasant analogy. It cannibalized customers and then made their bones into skeletons. From a previously money-making Pizzicato, I guess I'm not really as interested in this article as I thought. I'm just going to say this. Upscale pizza is stupid. I don't understand who is attracted to this kind of pizza. I guess to each his own, and everybody, it's a big world and a big tent, and we can all have our own kind of pizza. But really, there is one kind of pizza in this world. Well, that's two. I'll take it back. There are two kinds of pizzas in this world. They both have red sauce, though, and they both are basically just big piles of meat and cheese. One is thick and one is thin. That's it. That's the only choice. There is no eggplant. If you're putting eggplant on it, it's no longer a pizza. It's a salad on bread. That's all it is. So, all right. I'm done. I'm done ranting about this. What is your favorite? Let me ask you this, Jim Roop. What is your favorite kind of pizza? You know, not specifically in terms of like an actual store, but I'm
sausage,
saying
pepperoni kind of thing.
You're saying that you're from? Not Chicago.
Cincinnati.
Yeah. But are you saying you go with the thick or you go with the thin?
I go with, I guess I'm regular crust, whatever that is.
Kind of a thin-ish.
Yeah, because I like to fold it and eat it.
There you go. So that's not a thin, yeah, that's a thin crust. You can't fold a thick crust pizza.
No, I don't want to have to eat my pizza with a fork.
That's the other thing. The only reason you should ever be eating your pizza with a fork, there's only one reason for that. The reason for eating a pizza with a fork is if you're like sometimes real East Coast places, like if you're in New York or something, they'll have, like there's this place called Patsy's, I think, in Harlem. That I went to, and I'm not ashamed to say this. I went there. I'm a total fanboy. I went there because that's where Sinatra used to eat, and it really is where, like, they take the big balls of mozzarella and melt it down, and the pizza's a little messy. You sometimes got to use the knife and the fork for that. That's okay. Otherwise, you know, and if it's too healthy, like, there's this food that just shouldn't be made healthy. There's things that you enjoy, and you know what? It's not like you're eating strychnine, but it's not health food. Pizza's not meant to be health food. Really, strictly speaking, and I say this as a pizza fan, I'm a pizza enthusiast, I realize that you didn't call about this, and now you're being sucked helplessly into the vapid whirl of my discussion.
I'm a pizza fan, too.
Then you're with me on this, that you know what, there's some stuff that's full of grease and goodness, and it'll make you happy and fat. And that's just fine. That's just the way that it's got to be.
Well, that's why God gave us taste buds.
That's what I'm talking about, and so it is with a pizza, so it is with beer, so it is with chicks that are still at a bar at 145. Not too good for you. Probably shouldn't have that every night, but you know what, now and again...
Once in a while, you get a hankering for it.
The time and a place, my friend. That's time right. And a place is what that's all about.
Yeah.
Well,
I agree, by the way.
Thank you. It's Thursday, which means that O.J. Simpson must be in the news again.
Poor Fred Goldman. That's that poor sap.
You know, and Fred Goldman is one of those guys. I guess at least he's got something to do with his time, because otherwise he'd just be collecting matchbooks or something.
Well, you know, he's going to be biting at Simpson's heels until Simpson finally, you know, falls down. That's what's going to happen. And that's even basically what the lawyer said yesterday when the judge... Judge didn't really toss out the lawsuit. He just kind of ruled that he has no jurisdiction over it.
Right.
Because, you know, Fred lives in Arizona, OJ lives in Florida, so what am I doing here?
Now, what is this? I get them all confused. What is this lawsuit that got thrown out?
This is the one that Fred Goldman in the lawsuit claimed that Simpson set up this fake company.
All right, yeah.
To funnel the money that the advance he received from this failed book deal now without having to pay some of that judgment. Now, the lawyer for Simpson said, you know, he didn't hide the money, and Goldman's not entitled to it because it's already spent. There you are. But Goldman's lawyer saying, Judge, I know you're saying, you know, Goldman lives here and Simpson lives there, you have no jurisdiction, but this fake company, allegedly, is based in Santa Monica, so right. You can rule on this. And the judge, this is no commentary on the merit of the case. The judge just said, look, I can't do it. You're going to have to either... appeal to another judge or go to Florida and pursue it. That's probably where they're going to wind up.
And here's the... Do you get the feeling, first of all, someday when I am president and you are my chief enforcer in charge of imprisoning and re-educating dissidents, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to get all of these guys in a room and I'm going to order them to settle this in the steel cage. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, sure.
There will be... And it'll be a pay-per-view thing. It'll be $100.
Flat fee?
$100 flat fee.
Smart.
$100 flat fee, no holds barred, no rules, eye gouging and fish hooking, both acceptable. You put them in a cage, two men enter, one man leaves. That's it. That's how we're going to settle this. Do you get the feeling that both of these guys, Fred Goldman and O.J. Simpson, and again, and I have moved now beyond, I don't say I moved beyond, but I mean clearly O.J. Simpson's a bastard and all of that goes with him. But I'm just saying at this point, that is almost now irrelevant because... regardless of the merits of the O.J. Simpson case or whether, let's assume in some alternate reality, there really was like actual reasonable doubt and not just a wacky jury. I mean, for these guys, it's not about that. It's just this white-hot, simple vengeance quest that these guys are on. And do you get the feeling that both Fred Goldman and O.J. Simpson, I mean, I think they're probably both living really healthy lives. They're exercising a lot, they're working out, they're watching their blood pressure, because each of them just wants to be there when the other one dies.
You know, I've seen both of them up close recently, and I believe that Fred Goldman could take O.J.
Fred Goldman's a big man.
Yeah, I believe he could take him. And only because, you know how after months of being picked on by the bully in the playground, the little weasel will finally just start flailing like a girl and bloody the nose and make the bully cry.
Totally.
That's what it's going to be. Now, yeah, Fred's a big guy. He looks like he's in pretty decent shape. He hasn't changed much since the trial nearly 10 years ago now. But I'm telling you, he would start flailing, and O.J. wouldn't know what hit him. It'd be like, you know, the back end of a motorboat going brrr, and just beating the crap out of O.J.
And I can tell you this, and I say this with no moral judgment. This is simply the truth, that you cannot dispute the fact that this is, you know, is that Fred Goldman is, you know, it's like you see some of those things like, you know, NASCAR driver powered by Castor or whatever the oil is. Fred Goldman is just powered by pure hate.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's a guy running on 100 octane hate.
The only thing
point.
Is, I think Goldman knows this too, that as soon as he takes care of Simpson, he'll die. He has no more reason to live.
He'll be like that guy that retires and then he golfs for a day and then keels
this
over.
This is what keeps him alive.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
How bizarre. So these, I mean, they
have
really...
Have you seen the movie Crank?
No, I have not.
Well, this is his adrenaline. This is how he keeps his heart.
Oh, that's where the guy has to keep his pulse rate up or he dies. Yeah. No, you're right. And I mean, they are, I am so fascinated still by the O.J. case, because the O.J. case, as I've said a lot, is just, it is every single American schism, with the possible exception of, I mean, it's everything. I mean, it's rich, poor, man, woman, black, white, celebrity, not. I mean, it's everything. It's nearly every American problem boiled down into one case.
Mm-hmm.
And these two guys, I mean, they are kind of the last men standing. You know what? Because everybody else has either disappeared or dead in this case. I mean, Johnny Cochran's dead, and Marsha Clark has sort of vanished into the woodwork. Ito's back on the bench just hearing traffic tickets. So they're the last two. And, you know, it's been 11 years. Is that right?
Yeah, it's been, 10 years, yeah.
Damn, man. I don't even think they did it. I don't even think there was, like, anybody noting last year that it was 10 years. It's just maybe I blinked and missed it or something.
Because it doesn't go away. You don't know that it's been gone to commemorate an anniversary of any kind because it's in your face every day.
Because we got a hangover from it still.
Yeah.
And no, it's true. It's like the Monica Lewinsky thing. I mean, it's like we're all still hung over from that.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Well, I mean, I feel bad for Fred Goldman, man. I mean, it's this poor guy. He is so enraged. And you know, when you see him, if you're at a news conference and it's not his turn to talk yet, he's just seething.
Oh, he vibrates.
Oh, yeah. And then all of a sudden, when it's his turn to talk, yeah, he talks a little slow like he wants to. But I'm telling you, his eyes are moving real quick and his hands are shaking and he's just, you know, it doesn't match his voice.
Yeah, and I mean, does he, let's see, how do I put this? Does he seem, in your journalistic estimation, just your opinion as a journalist, does Fred Goldman, and again, and I'll be very clear that obviously, I mean, the guy went through, like, more than anybody should have to go through, and he's just, you know, he's just all, I mean, everybody just feels so bad for the guy, and that every day that O.J.'s walking around spending money somewhere is just like another day of hell for Fred Goldman. But is he gone wacky? Is he just cracked in some way? You think Fred Goldman still is? He's kept it together. That he is not. In other words, you don't believe that
he's
in the process of some long, decade-long breakdown.
No. He's obsessed with the justice of it all, or the lack of justice right now. He's obsessed with getting justice, but he's not whacked out.
All
he's
right.
not crazy. He is not crazy. Because when you do get a moment or two with him one-on-one, he's pretty calm, cool, and collected.
Because, again, and I don't mean to sound morbid, but you and I have had that conversation before about how, again, simply speaking as a cultural observer, it does at times surprise me that no one has taken a shot at O.J.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the next logical step is it does kind of surprise you that guy hasn't been Fred Goldman.
That's the thing for me, is I can't believe he hasn't tried something.
Yeah, and, but again...
He can't, especially now, he can't get play from any courtroom.
Right.
You know?
He's exhausted his legal options, isn't he?
Not quite. I mean, and the attorney said yesterday, he said, you know what, we're just going to keep tightening the grip until O.J. can't move anymore. And there will be that day.
So
they're just going to keep on course. You know, I don't know how much this guy's making on all this, but he'll, you know, he's going to tighten the grip as long as there's a checkbook, probably.
Yeah, this is one weird country we live in.
Yeah, babe.
All right. Well, there you go. Keeps us employed, I guess. Jim Roop, live in Los Angeles,
Thank
my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Talk to you soon. There
all
you go.
Right.
Jim Roop in L.A. There you go. Fantastic. Did you want to ask him something?
No. Okay. I didn't realize how late it was because I wanted to do the suburban.
Oh, we got to do the suburban. Should we do that now?
Why don't we break and come back with that?
Let's break. I've got an idea. Let's break and come back with that. And then later on, we'll have some headlines from Tim Riley, and we'll try to get to Scotty's top five today. We have the top five musical acts in the opinion of Scotty J. That may be the thing that gets bumped. But we'll come back with a suburban perspective after this, kids. 503-733-2970. Stay there. We return momentarily.
Play the sounder.
Oh, wait.
How do you can't say stuff like that?
Scotty, you can't say something like that because, you know, it
that
is...
was too soon. Too soon. Too soon. Too soon.
Who'd like for me to deconstruct where these sounders are coming
your
from?
Your facts are uncoordinated.
Not me.
All right, thank you. Too soon. Thank you for clarifying.
His brain is gone.
All right. 503-733-2970.
What was that number?
I don't know. 503-733-2970. Tomorrow's our last day in the studio. Monday, we begin broadcasting to the Rick Emerson Studio East. Let's see. In just a moment, we'll welcome Scotty J to the studio. Shannon.
Yeah.
You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Oh, hi. I was just wondering how many bottles of Vito were in a case.
Boy, I don't know the answer to that.
At 16?
40. 5. 1.
Oh, are they stacked on top of each other?
Green. 12.
No?
No, I don't know.
See, I'm assuming 24, because it's $22 a case, but...
I don't know.
I really don't know either.
I feel like a fool. I feel like...
Well, Scotty didn't know the answer either, so...
And he just bought some.
That's why I asked him.
I don't know the answer to that, because we are a little spoiled here, that they'll bring it to us, and we just sort of drink it and don't really think about it, because they're nice enough to bring us some when we run out. So we're a little pampered when it comes to Visa, so I'm not really sure.
Okay.
All right, sorry, Shannon.
Do you save your caps?
I'm sorry, I know if you save the caps, you can redeem them for Viso swag. We really ought to be saving ours, but we don't because we're kind of dumb and more than a little lazy.
Well, then send them to me.
Okay, we should do that. You know, we should actually save our Viso caps because, you know, if you get enough of those, you can get a Viso refrigerator.
Really?
Yeah, if you have enough Viso caps, I believe you can get a Viso refrigerator. So maybe we ought to start saving ours here at the studio. We'll give them away or something.
Nice. All right,
thank you, Shannon.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Shannon.
Shannon!
All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
He put the little round object in his mouth.
It was delicious.
Hello.
Okay, here, hit timeout.
You can't cut this. Okay, you understand that we're live on the air.
Yes, do not sabotage me. I'm changing headphones here. I'm sure Tim would appreciate it.
Scotty.
Okay, right. Time in.
All right, do you have any final thoughts to say before we start?
God help me.
Okay, thank you. Time for another exciting edition of The Suburban Perspective with Scotty J.
Good afternoon.
What's on your mind today?
Hi, Scotty J.
I see you prepared notes again.
No, I just carry these around with me in my suitcase wherever I go.
What are these notes on? Are you trying to guess every day what we're going to ask
yeah,
you?
Yeah, and it's really a nightmare because I can't figure it out. And see, that's why I look like an absolute idiot to people. Because,
well, what are some of the things that you took notes on?
What were the subjects you prepared? Maybe we can talk about those.
Oh, we can talk about...
What subjects have you prepared, quote, your own thoughts,
Well, the other day, this was a little bit of information on the State of the Union address, but, you know,
that's
all hearsay.
That's
past.
It's hearsay. What is hearsay?
It's like, here one day, and you say it, and gone the next. Hearsay. Or it's like seeds floating in the wind, you know. Once they're gone, it's hearsay. Okay. Let's look up the Webster's definition of that word. Because I'm really not sure.
You do that. Hearsay is seeds floating in the wind.
Yeah. once they're here, and then they're gone.
Okay.
Okay.
What other subjects have you prepared to notes on, Scotty?
I'm sure you have some subjects you could
I'm curious to know what you're
throw my way.
I'm curious to know what you're interested in. What subjects do you feel need to be addressed on the suburban perspective, Scotty?
Oh, subjects like your comment on the health care earlier today. You said health care, yes, the elderly and the poor need health care, but I guess the rest of us don't need
that
it.
That wasn't my comment. That was your president's comment. When he said that the government needs to, the government needs to provide health care for the very, very sick and the very, very poor, I believe.
And then your comment was the rest of us don't need it.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to address there
is... I think he was being sarcastic, Scotty.
Oh, I know. He was.
Yeah.
He was being sarcastic that Bush's plan doesn't cover everybody. And so that's how I took it. I took it as if you're thinking the whole country should get health care.
I was noting that according, in my opinion, that it is the government's obligation to protect its citizens.
Okay, and in my obligation, the government should not rule our lives and provide things for us unless you move to Canada.
The government already rules your life, first of all. The government can put you in prison. The government can kill you, in fact, Scotty.
Right.
So the government kind of already does rule your life. Whether or not that's right.
The reason why that's there is so we don't have a totalitarian / terroristic state like Iraq is at the present moment.
The reason
why we have a government in place.
The reason what is there?
This government is in place, so we don't have a country like Iraq is at the time. And the reason Iraq is like that, I'm not going to talk about Iraq today other than this.
The reason the government is in place is so we don't turn into Iraq.
Yeah, so we don't turn into a bunch of, killing, maiming, terrorist, non-law-abiding people. That's part of the reason for government, is to keep things together. But it's not to necessarily provide food and shelter and all this for us. Now, if you're poor, that's a different story,
So, okay, I'm trying to figure this out. So if people cannot afford health care, do you believe that they should be given health care?
If people cannot afford it and they do not work and they are, physically handicapped or mentally handicapped in such a capacity that they can't work, then yes.
So people who work, so the working poor don't deserve health care.
Working poor deserve an opportunity to get health care at a reasonable price. Now take my salary, for instance. I work... I'm not going to go into details here. I just want to talk. I'm a part-time worker without...
Yes.
Without benefits.
Yes.
Okay? There's millions of us out there just like this. Now, so obviously I want health care. I would like some kind of reform so we can put money into a savings account. Health savings account.
Let me ask you this. Do you believe that it's the government's responsibility to provide, the defense, the common defense for people?
You mean the defense as in protecting us from...
When the government says, they're going to provide for the common defense.
Now,
how many people died from terrorist attacks in America last year?
Isn't that something? Isn't that great that hardly anybody died from terrorist attacks last year?
Okay, but my question
that's a feat.
Do you know how many people in America died from terrorist attacks?
Over in the United States?
How many here in America, how many people died from terrorist attacks?
None.
How many people died from cancer last year?
Hundreds. Thousands.
It's not an auction. Is it hundreds or is it thousands?
How about this? Hundreds.
Green.
Add the word of in between that. Hundreds of thousands.
Okay.
So
do you don't believe the government has the responsibility to protect people from things that are grave dangers to them?
The government does get involved with research and things like that. That's why we have the FDA.
Okay. Let's move on, shall we?
We haven't quite answered the question here over the healthcare thing that I'm talking about.
If you'd like to answer the question, okay. Rick Emerson will wait while you give us all the definitive word.
Well, I just want to say it's not that the poor don't deserve healthcare. It's not that the mentally handicapped don't deserve healthcare.
That's awfully mighty white of you, Scotty.
What I believe is there needs to be some healthcare reform, yes. But I believe that a lot of people work in major corporations out there, and they have this the total deluxe
packaged health care plan that they don't need because they don't even go to the doctor but once a year. Okay? So it'd be nice to be able to take that money and put it into an interest-earning account for those that are not using it. Okay? Number two, people like myself on a part-time basis who don't have health care should have competition out there that we can go to get cost-effective health care at a reasonable price. So these are some of the things that Bush was bringing up the other night when he talked about this.
Okay. Moving on. I say moving on, and you throw your arms up, and you sort of flail them around, frog-like.
I think you've said quite a bit on the subject. Let's move forward.
Let's move forward, Scotty.
Let's for your own
take
good,
this
Scotty.
In a new direction.
Let's talk. Yes. Let's talk about California and the issue of spanking children. Now, I don't know if you've read this, but there was legislation introduced in California last week that would ban the spanking of children under the age of 3. Scotty J., what is the suburban perspective on spanking?
I've only had to do it like twice. Mm-hmm. In just the ultimate worst, bad, non-defiant situation. And it wasn't some kind of a brutal, beating. It was more like a slap on the rear.
On the rump.
Yeah. But this under 3 thing, yeah. I agree with that. I agree that children should not be spanked at all. However, there are some children out there that are so out of control, out of whack, they need to be spanked. They deserve it.
So it's...
I mean,
when you say children that are out of whack,
just so out of control, don't listen to a word that the adult says because they're not going to have they're not going to be punished over it. There's no retribution for their actions, so therefore they act worse.
You're doing a low fist punch there in the air.
Yeah. No comment on that.
Okay. Final thoughts, Scotty?
Well, we have some callers.
Do we? Oh,
yeah.
All right. This always works out so badly because they're not screened. Rick Emerson Show, hello. You're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J.
Hello.
Are we in the bathroom?
Hello.
Oh, no, I'm not in the bathroom, but I'm in a fairly confined space. You know, Scotty was talking about wanting to save money in some sort of an account that would be tax-free to pay for his insurance.
Yes.
At least in Oregon, medical savings accounts are available, and you get that, and you get a high-deductible policy.
I'm sure he's aware of that and has been using it for some time.
You can already do it.
I'm sure he's aware of that and has been doing it for some time.
I'm very aware of that. Thank you.
Keep us out.
Okay, thank you, sir. Rick Everson Show, you're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J. Hello.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Hey.
You realize you just shaved off about half your demographics by putting him on the radio, right?
That's under Scotty is gold, sir. He is speaking for
he's spilling things in the studio also.
Were you trying to compare your intellectual ability to the CBS executives, or what was the deal there?
I'm sorry?
I'm just giving you a little bit of grief. Scotty's right about one thing. They need to be able to provide some security for folks. But in the end, the government can't afford to pay for that whole bill.
The government can't afford to pay for any of the things it's currently doing, such as Iraq. That doesn't seem to stop them.
Well, that's true, but at the same time, when you talk about cancer and hundreds of thousands of people, that also, you got to take into account other hundreds
of
thousands of people who are smoking cigarettes.
Scotty J.,
when did the curing cancer and all this become the government's problem?
Well, because the Constitution says that it's the government's job to provide for the common defense. Well, there are more people killed by cancer every month than were killed by terrorism in this country last year.
This sounds like a Democratic skew to me, because the reality is
what
this.
Were your numbers and your facts? This math is a liberal. All right, how does
it
come
reality?
That is the reality,
Scotty.
How many
thousands of years ago was that written, number one? And secondly, the number two thing that I want to say.
How many thousands of years ago was the Constitution written?
A couple hundred years ago, a hundred, couple.
What year was.
Okay. That's the thing, it was 18 something or 1776, I think. There you go.
The Constitution, it was written in 1776.
I'm not I don't remember these kind of dates and stuff, but that was written to protect us against the enemy coming in, not the germ enemy.
Cancer. It was written to protect us, for example. From Germany, not germ enemy.
That did sound like Germany, didn't it? Sausage. A couple more phone calls, it looks like we have. Maybe they have really interesting questions for
Sarah,
us.
Sarah, by the way, is actually spitting liquid onto the floor.
Look out for the keyboard there.
Did you say that the government won't fund things filled with germs? Did you say germs?
Do you believe it was therefore then not the government's responsibility to find a cure for polio? The government shouldn't have worked on that or funded that.
They're, like I said, they're involved with the AIDS, right? They're involved with all kinds of stuff
what?
Right now.
The government is involved with the AIDS.
Yeah, they're going to send a couple million. In fact, I got it in my notes here. That's the problem with notes is you can't ever find where you need to go when you get there. But they're going to send 600 million over the next 5 years or some huge amount into Africa.
Is it one of the highlighted sections?
Yes, it is kind of a highlighted section. I'm looking for it here. But they're going to send this money into Africa to help fight the AIDS off. Okay.
Absolutely.
Rick Emerson, show you're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J.
Hi, Rick.
Hey.
I'm the other half of the Suburban Perspective. Or the, not the Suburban, but the other half of the demographics that that other guy was talking about.
Yes.
I think Scotty speaks for a lot of people out there. And also I think that, bless your hearts, but I think sometimes in listening to your show, you and Sarah are just, you know, maybe a little bit to the right of Mao Zedong. And so we like to...
I don't understand.
What's that?
I'm to the right of Mao Zedong.
Now, is that on the left or right?
Well,
I think spatial relations is eluding you at the moment. I don't understand, sir.
Well, we're just... Scotty's just providing a little bit of the more pedestrian, you know, sort of down-to-earth view of...
suburban journalism.
Like the Beatles cover where they're walking across the street there in the crosswalk.
No, Scotty, not pedestrian in that sense.
Thank you.
But, you know...
That album was recorded thousands of years ago.
You know, Rick, when you're talking about mailing in your contributions to the ACLU and those kinds of things,
yes,
and, you know, extorting the virtues of, extolling the virtues
extorting.
Of Hillary and some other people, and, you know, so Scotty gets on and says his thing.
Yes, I understand that. He is representing the suburban perspective.
All right, thanks.
Okay, and we've come full circle. Hello, never mind. Hello, Scotty J, Suburban Perspective. Who is this?
Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hello. I was just wanting to say, you know, when Scotty was talking about those kids that are just totally out of control and they just need to be spanked. Usually it's those parents that need to be spanked, and if they were doing something beforehand, the kids would never have been spanked in the first place.
Yeah, in your face, Scotty.
Well, I think I've done a really, really superb job of raising my kids, and they're very, very well-mannered, and at times they get out of control, and like I said, I've had to spank my son at least twice in the last 8 years.
That's pretty good.
All right. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
All right. Let's take a couple more here. Hello, you're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J.
Yeah, it's... For the last guy, I think Scotty represents the lower-hanging fruit of the Rick Emerson audience. But
I am not making that estimation. He simply speaks for a certain demographic, sir.
I had a question about the spanking.
Yes.
Okay, Scotty?
Yes.
What was it Mrs. J did to get the two spankings? You know, like drive a car or...
Learn to read.
Not cast her eyes downward or what?
Touché.
Thank you, Rick.
What does touche mean?
I don't know. Somebody said it.
And does Scotty write the speeches for Bush? Is he like a speech coach for Bush? Because
there is a sort of coalescence there, yes.
Using the same playbook.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. All right, let's take let's do one more here. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. You're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J.
Hi.
Hi.
Did Scotty figure out what hearsay is?
Scotty, would you like to revise your definition of hearsay?
I understand in my mind what it means.
It's like when it comes out at some...
It's like water under the bridge, you know? That's why I said the seeds floating in the field in the wind. Same thing.
Hearsay is water under a bridge.
Yeah.
In what
sense? Okay, did he look in Webster's yet?
No, I'd love to know the real definition.
Well, let's not give it to him just yet. Expand, if you would, please, about the water under the bridge.
Well, you have the water that's up the mountain, and it comes down the hill a little bit, and there's a bridge there. A couple people might be standing on it. Water goes under the bridge. That water is gone. It's like you don't even give it a second thought anymore. You're thinking about the water coming from up the hill still.
Use hearsay. How does the water go up the hill?
I can't tell if he actually believes what he's saying or not.
Please to be using hearsay in a sentence.
What Rick Emerson believes is all hearsay.
Okay. Thank you, miss.
You're welcome.
Well, we didn't get the definition from her.
I'll let you know. You know, part of the joy.
I'll tell you off air.
Yeah, the joy of learning is discovery by oneself.
This is true.
All right, final thoughts?
No more. My head hurts.
That I believe. Bing. Let's end this now. All right, back after this, we'll wrap it up with Tim Riley. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Anything you get from germs. The best part was when I was using numbers, and he said, "Well, that's your Democratic skew, using numbers." All right.
My favorite part was how the Constitution was thousands of years ago.
Who knows how many thousands of years ago that was written?
It's like the Dead Sea Squirrels.
Yes, exactly. Our... Who was that?
I don't know.
I have no idea. Laughing in the hallway. Ladies and gentlemen, he's your president, prophet, seer, and revelator. He is Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Looks like the county won't be protecting you from yourself after all. The Multnomah County Board of Commissioners unanimously backed off a proposal to ban the use of trash bags in county restaurants. Instead, they're charging the health department with creating a public education plan to educate the great unwashed about artificial fats. Apparently, the county decided, well, they don't have the power to enforce much of anything, really.
Well, there you go.
A cat has survived a Vancouver house fire. 2 hours after extinguishing a Vancouver house fire, firefighters found the cat hiding under the bed. Norma McKenzie adopted Vanessa about a week ago from the Oregon Humane Society. They were home Tuesday night when the fire erupted. McKenzie got out but left the cat behind. Well, firefighters searching the rubble found the cat hiding under the bed of the damaged bedroom. Vanessa's doing well with no apparent after effects from smoke and fire.
By the way, now, of course, we're glad that the cat is safe, but that's all you need to know about cats right there, is that when it came down to it, the owner abandoned the cat to save herself. That tells you all you need to know about what you know in your heart to be true about cats. Because you know that they would not... When's the last time you read about a cat saved somebody? Never happens.
Never.
Here's Tim.
A Detroit man who says he is sexually aroused by female mannequins is going to jail. Ronald Dotson, sentenced today to 18 months to 30 years in prison for breaking the stores to get at those mannequins. He was arrested in October after police spotted him near a smashed store window.
Step one.
Get at the mannequins.
Step one. Get at those mannequins.
And he had a mannequin. Him with a French maid outfit in his hands. It was just days after he was paroled after his sixth conviction of stealing mannequins. In one of his prior arrests, Dotson was found by police in an alleyway behind a woman's clothing store with three mannequins dressed in lingerie.
I'm sorry, what
it's unclear whether or not they were ravished. Excuse me?
Bleed over in my headphones? In my cans?
There are people talking in the alleyway.
Oh, there's people talking loudly in the hallway. That's what that's about. Let's back up for a second.
Aren't they hard and plastic and smooth? I mean,
I'm not sure the anatomy of a mannequin once they're declothed.
You interrupted what was going to be a golden soundbite.
Oh, I didn't know we had one.
Aren't they hard and plastic and smooth? And I could see Sarah opening her mouth to say, what are you going to do with one of those?
Well, bring it back. We'll pretend it didn't happen.
It's all hearsay.
The last thing I need is another soundbite.
He's manically depressed. The, Kim Cattrall joke here. But I'm with Sarah. I don't understand.
You could dress up plastic bits, but I mean...
Understand that I'm not really asking for an answer on the air, but what does one do if you have a mannequin fetish once you have the mannequin? There's nowhere to, you know, feed it. Like if you have a doll and you want to have a tea time.
I have no idea. The closest we've gotten here is Senku Kim. And he just likes the undergarments themselves. Never mind.
They don't have mouths. The mouths are closed. The mouths are all solid, aren't they?
There are some mannequins that have smiles. And laughter.
That could have been the French maid.
Okay. You know, maybe, I wonder if it was one of those sexy mannequins. This sounds really creepy, by the way.
It is. I think we should move on.
This, I'm just... I wonder if it's one of those sexy mannequins like they sell at Naked City on Hawthorne. What is that mannequin? Because
it's a sexy mannequin.
It's a sexy. It's asking for it.
Looking at
it's
funny.
It's begging for it. And it talks back. No, there's the JCPenney style mannequin, which is just sort of the very vague female form. And then I've noticed walking on Hawthorne, like you go to Bishop's or something, and there's that Naked City, which I think is that the place I'm thinking of, Metro or something? But there's a mannequin that is, has a... Well, it has nipples. And I'm just saying, I don't think mannequins
used to. Who notices if mannequins have nipples?
Because it's in, like, the... It's creepy, because it's in, like, the tightest, thin, like, a sheerest T-shirt you've ever seen. And you walk by, and you kind of go, hello, because...
But don't take our word for it. It's happened today.
I don't think mannequins used to have nipples. I don't think they...
Back when you were a boy.
When I was a boy, mannequins were nippleless.
So maybe there are other additional parts that have been added onto
them. That's what... Maybe it is a fully functional mannequin.
Maybe he's not looking for a sexual thing with the mannequins. Maybe he's talking to them and petting their hair.
I was... Speaking to it in his dead mother's voice.
I mean, if he's surrounded by three mannequins in an alleyway, all dressed up.
She's a whore, Norman! I won't have her in my house! Let's talk to Melissa. You're on the Rick Harrison radio program. Please don't talk about mannequins.
No, actually, I'm cracking up. Are you going to give Scotty his own show?
Yes, we are.
That's the idea.
We're really not. But
no, we totally should.
We should. Maybe like an hour on like a Sunday. He can do the Lord's work.
It is so funny because you go from him to Tim.
Yeah, well, yeah, there really is no easy segue into or out of the Scotty J segment. He is one of a kind.
Well, I need to explain to my boss my lack of productivity, but...
You blame it on Scotty.
I guess that's what I'm just going to say, that he gave me a new perspective.
Yeah, no, it really is true. Scotty is he is genius.
He's special.
All right. Well,
he's our special little Scotty.
He's one of... And she's gone.
Oh, bye.
He's one of God's. He's one of God's creatures. It's really true. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's see. What do we have here? Rick, about Scotty, does he... Now, see, there's just a lot of comments about, does he have to wear a helmet and so forth. Rick, as we know... Oh, yeah, this is what I was looking for earlier. As we know, Scotty likes gentlemen's clubs. Really? Is that true? I didn't know
like
that.
Like clubs with gentlemen in them?
Scotty, do you enjoy... Okay, well, apparently Stars in Beaverton has Viso in stock.
Oh.
Even old school, they carried it back when it was V-Soda, Scotty. There you go. Rick, here's an email. I'm just going to try to get a few of these cranked out here before we end the program. Rick, best line spoken by a fat chick in front of me at Walmart this morning. Quote, "Mom's husband keeps grabbing my butt." End quote. Ain't that America? That's fantastic. Rick... Is this the surprise that engineering has for you? Random intermittent snippets of Adam Carolla and Marconi laced into your signal. Ha, 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 ha. Let's see. About getting out of a Volvo. Rick, my lesbian friend never got her Volvo's door stuck. It opens with ease.
All right, okay.
He put the little round object in his mouth.
It was delicious.
A postman is the person in your neighborhood.
You know there's mannequin porn, too. You just know there is. Mailman Chris, hello, sir.
Wouldn't that be...
Thanks for that.
That's what I do. Wait, hold on. What, Sarah?
Wouldn't that be the blow-up doll porn? I mean, how can you make
a
mannequin porn? I mean, wouldn't that just be a blow-up doll?
No, but I mean, with a mannequin, it sounds, I'm saying that there's probably porn that is based on mannequin fetishes. Did you see that story yesterday about that dating show for the visibly disfigured?
Yes.
Oh. I mean, oh. Hello, Chris.
How are you doing today?
Sarah thinks that with the guy with the mannequin, it's all about the hand.
I thought it was brushing the hair.
Brushing the... It's a... Yeah, she believes it's all the band of the hand with that guy. All right. Hello, and...
Yeah, you... Well, you got the Taylor Swift story. He's the worst sound. Lisa and Jim, the Spurgeon perspective, which is getting better and better every day, and I agree. He should have a weekend show. Yeah. Everyone should. And but you didn't get the top five.
I know.
And you didn't get the story that would make you cross your legs even if you didn't have testes.
Let's get that right here. Dateline Salt Lake City. Utah Jazz guard John Starks missed Friday's practice and won't make the trip to Dallas for Game 3 of the playoff series. Starks is recovering from surgery to remove a twisted testicle.
Ah.
Until Friday, he'd been listed as questionable. Apparently, he needed, quote, more time.
Too soon.
More time to recover from Tuesday's procedure. I'm sorry, I don't know. I wasn't prepared. Apparently, he can't play now because...
too soon. Too soon. Too soon.
Dr. Tony Middleton, Jr., chief of urology, said torsion of the testicle. This is a news story. Torsion of the testicle. That's like Lothar of the Hill people.
Okay, torsion.
Occurs... Who wants to hear this? Doesn't matter reading it anyway. Occurs when a testicle becomes twisted 360 degrees and its, and its blood supply cut off.
Oh.
Patients usually complain of swelling and, you'll never get this, extreme pain in the testicle. Prompt treatment within 4 hours is required. Sometimes doctors can... I'm reading this now from the Associated Press. Doctors can... untwist the testicle by hand. But surgery is sometimes necessary. Quote, we'll open up and untwist that testicle. Step one, open up and untwist that testicle. Then give it a few minutes to see if it restores the blood supply. If so, it'll, quote, pink up, the doctor said. More often than not, though, the testicle remains dark, and that indicates that it's dead. In that case, the testicle must be removed because gangrene can set in. His spokesperson said, quote, he's feeling really good. End quote.
You know, I would have gladly let you skip the push-up if you could have skipped it.
Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 sir. I got to tell you what torsion is.
Yeah, and I think there's something there about, like, maybe a block shot.
Okay, let's just... Too soon. Too soon. All right, there you go. Other than that, I'm good. I got everything.
No, well, you didn't get the top five.
I didn't get the top five, so I got one. I'm at two?
You're two.
All right, fantastic. Ooh. Excellent.
So if you get to everything tomorrow, then you get to make Scotty J do a one push-up.
Excellent. Is that the new rule? That's fine. Rick Emerson's not going to question that.
I think that's a good rule. If you go negative, Scotty J has push-up.
Good. Excellent. I'm all for it. Let's vote. And motion carries. All right. Thank you, Chris.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, there you go. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Jim Roop and Lisa Goddard coming out tomorrow. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com and so forth. Rick Emerson, show produced today and every day with the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio in the newsroom. Tim Riley, PA and Suburban Perspective by Scotty J. Manager of the Rick Emerson Office East is David Zinn. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. Like us next. See y'all tomorrow. Bye.